Last Lord's Day, we began a very important study concerning the book of Leviticus. And we noted the theme of the Holy Bible, the problem of sin and God's answer to the problem of sin, but the theme of Leviticus in particular would be the way of holiness. That is, God is holy, and therefore His holiness demands that man be holy, which means being separated from the way of the world and a life of sin. And we noted in particular in Leviticus chapter 4, here were the instructions for the sin offering. And in particular, as you get down to verse 27, and if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, which he has done, notice, what against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not be done, and be guilty. Or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take the blood thereof with his finger, and put upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. Now notice verse 31, as we centered in on this verse. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And that again points out the emphasis of our study, acting on God's will to obtain forgiveness. Yes, obedience to the commands of God is the way of forgiveness. Now, we wanted to emphasize as we closed out our study this very important fact. Without obedience to God's will today, there will be no forgiveness of sins. And so we want to continue our study from the book of Leviticus in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we should all know that stands for, yes sir, preparing for eternity. And are we doing that? Let's ask ourselves, because that's the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we're studying God's precious Word in our Bible classes. But as we assemble together to worship God, we're also striving to do so in spirit with a proper attitude, but also in truth, in accordance to the will of God. In other words, we're obeying God's pattern that He has given us from the New Testament. And I can assure you, you will be very much welcome. Now, something else to mention. If you're interested in having a Bible study, we would love to set that up at your convenience. And if you have Bible questions or comments, positive or negative, you can send those to us. Again, our address, 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. And our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, we want to announce again our upcoming gospel meeting that begins April the 12th, Friday night, Saturday night on the 13th, and then Sunday the 14th. So please make your plans to join in with us as Brother Ronnie Whittemore from the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis will be our speaker. And Brother Ronnie has been here before, and he always does an outstanding job, and I know you'll appreciate hearing the gospel proclaimed in such a fine way. Now, again, that's Friday night, 7 p.m., Saturday night, 7 p.m., Sunday morning, 9:30, and 10:30, worship service, and then a potluck lunch, which you'll enjoy that, I can assure you, and then the last service at 1 p.m. of the gospel meeting. So we look forward to seeing everyone join in with us and make this an outstanding gospel meeting to the glory of God. Now, let's get back to our study in Leviticus as we're going to go to chapter 16, Leviticus 16, and we'll note beginning in verse 29 here of Leviticus 16. We're going to look at the Day of Atonement, which God established along with the daily individual animal sacrifices. So we're going to notice now verse 29, beginning. "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by a statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar. And he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year." And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. And of course, Aaron again was the first high priest. Now, you see, verse 30 in particular, let's notice that again. "For on that day," the Day of Atonement that is, "shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord." Now, this, of course, is with the promise of the coming Messiah. Without the blood of Christ, there would be no forgiveness, whether it be in the Old Testament days, under the patriarchal age or the Mosaic age, or coming, of course, to the Christian age. There wouldn't be a Christian age without Christ and his sacrifice. So we need to appreciate that. And we'll talk more about that. If we don't get to that this Lord's Day, then perhaps we can do that next week, Lord willing. So notice in Exodus 27, 21, 29, and verse 9, Aaron was the first high priest, and only his descendant sons could hold the office of high priest. But the order of Aaron's priesthood changed when Christ died on the cruel cross of Calvary. Now we'll go to Hebrews 7, verses 11 through 14. "If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood," which we're talking about, "for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron?" Melchizedek had no genealogy, and so that's after the order of Melchizedek. Now notice, "For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law." Well, the law of Moses then would be changed. It would be, of course, nailed to the cross, Colossians 2:14. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So he was silent about that tribe. He was saying something about, of course, the priesthood was the Levitical tribe. But when he said nothing concerning the tribe of Judah, that silence needed to be respected because it's by the authority of God. And so the silence of the scriptures should be respected today. We're not to add to or take away, of course, from the Word of God. And so we see here that there would be a change of priesthood with Christ being sacrificed for our sins, and a change of law. The law of Moses is nailed to the cross. The law of Christ becomes effective. So by studying God's commands in Leviticus, which had to be obeyed by the Israelites to obtain forgiveness, as we're emphasizing that, we need to learn that the following principles I'm going to mention never change. Even though, of course, we're not offering animal sacrifices today. No, not at all. Notice with me now Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 12. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So let's keep that in mind. No, we're not offering animal sacrifices today. Christ was offered once for all. But these principles, you see, never change. Number one, God is our Creator and is worthy to be obeyed and worshiped. As we noticed in Leviticus 22:2, 31 through 33. Well, look at Leviticus 22:31 through 33. Therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. And notice 1 Chronicles 16:28 and 29. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Yes, we are to obey God, and we are to worship God in accordance to his will, John 4:24, in spirit and in truth, having the proper attitude and in accordance to the New Testament pattern. So, we also note God's divine, this is number two, another principle that never changes, God's divine holiness is to be respected. And we see this in Leviticus 27 and 8. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy. For I am the Lord your God, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. And so, you see, in Hebrews 12:28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So God's divine holiness is to be respected. That never changes, does it? And principle number three, we'll note, God's commands to obtain forgiveness are to be obeyed. And this goes back to Leviticus chapter 4, we mentioned at the starting of the program. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so ye fulfill the law of Christ. We're under the law of Christ, not under the law of Moses, as we emphasize, and so we must obey the law of Christ. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Just believe only? Faith only? Grace only? No, sir. Unto all them that obey him. That's the point. God's commands to obtain forgiveness are to be obeyed under the law of Christ. We're under the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. Now, God does not accept substitutions in worship service. This is a point made in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Let's note, again, this is principle number 4. God does not accept substitutions in the worship service. Notice, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. They offered what God had not authorized. Did we understand that point? It's critical that we do. Well, here's the results of their offering strange fire, which God had not commanded them, which was not authorized. Now notice verse 2, there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now it's true, we're not struck dead today, even though we may substitute in our worship service things that are not authorized by God. But if we're doing that, we need to stop it, get forgiveness, of course, and worship in accordance to God's will. If we're in the Lord's church and we're worshiping unacceptably, that needs to stop and be repented of in order to have forgiveness of our sins in accordance to God's will. We must, of course, stop it and pray to God for forgiveness, confessing our sins before Him. And He is just and willing to forgive us as we do His will. Well, notice Colossians chapter 3, I think it would be good to note this, because, you know, a lot of people think it doesn't really matter what you do in worship service. This is incorrect, of course, but notice Colossians chapter 3, we're going to go to verse 16. And 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now this is the command for what we're to do as far as music is concerned in the worship service to God. We're to sing. Notice that. That's specific. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's in accordance to the will of God. We're staying with the pattern that God has given if we're doing that. So, again, God does not allow substitution in the worship service. It's not acceptable, as we should be able to see that. Notice Matthew 15, verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, who misunderstood that? Vain worship. If we're going along with what man teaches, we're not going in accordance to what God's word says, then our worship is vain. Now, that's not me saying it. That's Christ that said that, Matthew 15:9. Principle number 5 now, let's note. God blesses those who obey Him and remain faithful with eternal life in heaven. Now, those under the law of Moses, if they kept the law as best they could, then you see they would have salvation as the blood of Christ would go back and wash away their sins. So, we're seeing that in our study of Leviticus. Now, what about today? God blesses those who obey Him and remain faithful with what? Eternal life in heaven. Again, as we noted in Hebrews 5, 8, and 9, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of what? Eternal salvation unto all those that what? Obey him, as we emphasize that. And I wanted to emphasize that again. Notice Matthew 24, verse 13. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. So once we obey the gospel, we have to remain faithful. Endure until the end. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. Revelation 2:10. Principle number 6. God punishes those who disobey Him and remain unfaithful with eternal damnation in the fires of hell. That was true with the law of Moses, with the Israelites. It was true even before with the patriarchal age. It's still true today under the law of Christ in the Christian age. As you can see, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 12, and also Hebrews 3, 8 through 18. So you'll want to study those passages. But we are held accountable if we're disobeying God, if we remain unfaithful. Our eternal destiny will be in the fires of hell when the Lord returns on the day of judgment. Now, principle number 7. God knew from the foundation of the world that He would give His only begotten Son to be the sacrificial Lamb of God for the only means of salvation for all accountable souls. And this goes to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. As you can see, according as He hath chosen us in Him, that is in Christ. When did God do this? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And you can see this in 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20, Revelation 13, 8. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. You see, this was in the mind of God before creation. The plan of redemption. And thus, it began to unfold when man sinned in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. And thus, there needed to be the plan of redemption already to start unfolding. And it did. And aren't we thankful that God had this in mind, that He's going to send the second person of the Godhead, the Word, would become flesh, dwelt among us. And we certainly need to behold His glory, full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, but He was with God in the beginning and was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:1. We need to appreciate that fact. Yes, whether we're living under whatever age the people lived under, you see, it all depends their salvation on their obedience to God's will and the sacrifice of Christ shedding His blood. That, of course, is something that needs to be in our thoughts and minds. Yes, every day, and never forget the cost of salvation. So yes, of course, Leviticus relates to the subject of forgiveness, because without obedience to God's commands, the Israelites would not have obtained forgiveness by the blood of Christ. And therefore, God's word given by Moses was the authority for every religious act done during the Mosaic dispensation. And the Leviticus priesthood, yes, it was charged with this duty, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses, Leviticus 10, verse 11. So we should learn this fact from our study of the animal sacrifices in Leviticus, in the book of Leviticus. The authority of God was not to be questioned, but was to be respected and to be obeyed. That's right. Let me say that again. The authority of God was not to be questioned, but was to be respected and to be obeyed. Now that is the same today. And it's sad that so-called Christians today are questioning the authority and inspiration of the Bible. Can you imagine? Well, a number of folks in our society want to do away with the Bible. That's, of course, something that is not to be expected. You know, growing up in our country years back, we never would have anticipated it would be this bad, would we have thought that in our youth, those of us that are on up in years? So we need to understand, let's get back to the Bible and never turn loose of the Word of God because society is pressuring us to do so, but respond to the will of God, our Creator, who gave us life and sacrificed His only begotten Son on the cross for our sins. That's right. And thus we need to respond to His love and reverence Him, worship Him as He would have us to worship Him. Of course, having obeyed the gospel of Christ, then we're ready to worship God in spirit and in truth. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel of Christ. What must I do? I need to hear the truth. That's how my faith is to come. Romans 10:17. I need to believe that Jesus is the Christ who died for me. John 8:24. Now I'm ready to change my way of thinking. My will is going to be turned over to God. I'm going to do His will and get out of a life of sin, Luke 13:3-5. Now I'm ready to make the good confession unto salvation, stating Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, as you see there in Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. And then I'm ready to be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, Acts 2:38. We thank You so much for listening today.